Some European countries could be following Arizona's lead when it comes to their clocks, and the Cuban leader is set to take his first big foreign trip as president. Joining me for our weekly look at some of the top international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start with Iran, where more sanctions against that country are coming soon. What can we expect from them?
Yeah, that's right, Mark. A renewed round of U.S. sanctions against Iran coming into force this weekend, targeting the country's financial and oil institutions. This all, of course, after the U.S. pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal earlier this year. This is the second tranche of sanctions that are being reimposed. Those first ones that took effect in August, they were against Iran's automotive sector, as well as trade in gold and other valuable metals. These revived sanctions, some of them which actually predate the nuclear deal, are expected to pack much more of a punch, hitting Iran where it hurts, its oil exports and the central bank.
So, Rich, these sanctions are, of course, designed to hit Iran's economy, and they're brought by the U.S. Who else will be happy about it, though?
Right. Iran is going to be hit hard by these sanctions, but Saudi Arabia stands to benefit in a big way. Back in June, they promised to increase their oil production to coincide with these sanctions coming into effect, basically plugging the gap left by the loss of Iranian oil on the global market and helping stabilize prices. Our economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, says Iran is already losing out even before these sanctions have come into effect.
In anticipation of the sanctions, exports there and production have declined. Gainers from this, well, could include countries such as India and China if they do decide to continue buying Iranian oil. If Iran's no longer able to sell it somewhere else, then the likes of India and China might be able to get it a bit cheaper. The other potential gainer is Saudi Arabia. They have already indicated that they are willing to make up any shortfall as a result of the sanctions. The one cloud over that is the geopolitical tensions we've had over the awful events with the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. But at the moment, it does seem to be the case that Saudi Arabia can be expected to provide the additional oil the world needs.
So, Mark, an opportunity there for Saudi Arabia to make some more cash, save the day, and distract from other topics it would rather get away from.
Yeah, interesting for them. So, Rich, let's move next to Cuba. And there's an important trip coming up this week for the Cuban president, right?
Yes, that's right. It's the first international tour by Miguel Díaz-Canel, who took over from Raúl Castro in April. He's had a few foreign trips already. He was at the UN in New York last month, but this is the first slate of official visits. They start on Thursday, and the countries he's chosen to go to are some of those you might traditionally associate with Cuba's communist identity. So he's going to Russia, then on to China, North Korea, Vietnam, and Laos.
So what should we make of this itinerary then?
Well, it's really a whistle-stop tour of Cuba's top friends and allies, and the timing and circumstance can't really be more meaningful. With a new face in charge, and notably someone without the last name Castro leading the country for the first time in many years, this is an opportunity to reaffirm relationships with some of Cuba's closest partners around the world. And there's some key context to this as well. Cuba's struggling to deal with the impact of the crisis in Venezuela, its main regional ally, and it's been left somewhat isolated by new governments in Ecuador, Brazil, and Argentina. To top it off, relations with the US aren't that great. We saw a thaw in those relations under President Obama, but President Trump has made it clear he thinks that was a mistake and he's taken a somewhat tougher stance. So trade and travel restrictions reinstated, and the White House recently said it planned to put more pressure on Cuba's military and intelligence services. Leoman Lima is from our Latin American service, BBC Mundo.
In these circumstances, the visit to Russia, China, North Korea, Vietnam, and Laos shows not only the Cuban president's broader move to renew ties with former and old communist allies, but the country's urgent needs to expand its commercial, political, and military horizons beyond the Americas.
So, Mark, the U.S. sends a clear message to its neighbor. The response in Cuba seems to be very much, we have friends elsewhere.
All right, Rich, finally this morning, time is of the essence in Europe this week. Obviously, time is always of the essence, but what do you mean?
Well, fortunately, it's not about Brexit for once. Mark, the European Union is discussing daylight savings time.
Ah.
At the moment, the EU mandates that all member states follow the same practice and put their clocks forwards or backwards on the same date. In fact, that's just happened here this weekend. But for some countries, this year might be the last. Ministers from various EU countries meeting in Austria today to discuss bringing the whole thing to an end. That's after a survey earlier this year which found that 80% of people across the European Union were opposed to changing the clocks every 6 months. Now, depending on how the conversations go, this could mean individual European states deciding to stop the practice completely, meaning each country choosing which time of the year they'll stay on all year round. So one of the discussion points clearly will be how to manage different groups of EU member states doing things differently and how that affects trade relations, financial transactions, and so on. Some are worried that a patchwork of practices could be confusing and hard to manage. But hey, that's something you know about in Arizona.
We sure
do. Maybe you guys are the reassuring example that there's nothing to worry about, or perhaps the proof that it could all go badly wrong.
Well, certainly a lot to keep your eyes on the clocks there over in Europe coming up. That's the BBC's Rich Preston. Rich, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Likewise, Mark. Thanks.